So yeah, once again, talking about some of the top stars that you guys wrestled. We're talking about AJ Styles, Abdullah the Butcher earlier. You wrestled, yep, CM. Tony, stop reading my notes. you wrestled CM Punk, Colt Cabana, and the Briscoes in the same match. What was this like?
It was too quick, man. I wish we did more with them. That was a quick match too, wasn't the whole match fast?
Yeah, we didn't. It wasn't a very long match. That was
kind of thrown together.
Yeah, no. But
I think honestly, it shows what ROH kind of thought of you to be that team. Obviously, you were teaching new guys and stuff, but you were a really good team because you wouldn't be in the ring with CM Punk, Colt Cabana, and the Briscoes, would you?
Right. I think that was their first time doing a scramble match too. Was it their first times in doing that?
I think so.
A scramble match, and that's why.
Yeah. That's probably why we were in it.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I was trying to give you a compliment, but yeah.
Well, that is a compliment, right? You know, so there's these guys that are supposedly the future of the business and the star and the main event stars of the company, as from from a fan's perspective, and you know, we still had the duty and the honor of being kind of the glue in some of the, you know what I mean, some of the thing that put it together. So that's a compliment to us, you know. Yeah. I mean, yeah, that's
I wish we could have worked with all of them more. I wish we could have worked with all of them more.
We've only, you know, you mentioned we're back when we started that you'd love to see us with Briscoe someday, and so would we. But I think we don't have 15 total minutes in a ring with those guys in our whole career. I don't think, you know.
It would be
great. Yeah.
Yeah, we've obviously his past versus present show coming up. Now it's been announced it's going to be Briscoe versus Briscoe, but I would have loved to have seen the Carnage Crew versus the Briscoes at past versus present. That would have been really cool. And for yourself, HC, you said a fan's perspective. That's actually the name of the titles of my books. So I appreciate the plug.
Great.
But, moving forward, in terms of the Carnage Crew, you added a new member in ECW heavyweight champion. Just incredible. How did he fit into the group?
Well, I mean, I met PJ when I was training in school, you know, to be a wrestler. PJ lived in Connecticut. I trained in Connecticut. He actually trained at the Hearts. So he lived about 30 minutes from a school that he had no clue about. Went all the way to Canada to get trained, but worked out pretty well for him. But when he came back, he somehow found our school, and he started coming to our school. So I've known him probably since 92 at this point. And, you know, right away we got him coming with us. We got him booked to do shows for WWE TV and everything. But, man, for me it was great that he came in as a Carnage Crew member, because that's one of my oldest friends in the business and my best friend in this business besides my two other partners, you know. But Logan Angel, I guess I'll put them over. But, you know, that's a guy, you know, for me it was great. You know, I love that guy. I love PJ. So having him part of that group was, to me, was awesome. It was awesome.
And for yourself, HC?
Yeah, I feel like he slid right in. And when we talked about it for a little while, I maybe pulled for it or suggested it or somebody or something. Yeah. You know,
I think we had to talk Gabe into it a little bit. Yeah. You know? I think we got him, you know. Not too much, because Gabe liked him.
He liked him. But it that was kind of a big – that's a big thing. He's a big focal point of my career, you know, and I get on tangents, but I'll, you know, just a quick version of that.
No, that's fine.
We go way back to before I started in, ECW. So like 97, early 98 type stuff. I mean, trying to find out what the HC Lowe character was, you know, or how I dressed, or I would dress like Justin Credible. Like he, you know, it was, I thought he was awesome. You know what I mean? I'm like, I could, and I would try to emulate some stuff, and then I get to go to ECW. Right. And you know, I'm on ring crew, you know, and I'm wanting, you know, at, you know, as every young boy should again, you know, trying to, should I bring the champ a chair? He was the one guy's like, no, man, you wanted to be more buddies than anything else. And he's a champ.
He'd give you the chair, you know?
And yeah. I'm the champion, and he's a champion, and I'm the ref still doing ring crew. Right?
Yeah.
And then I started doing the, you know, I worked every night as the ref, as you may know. You know, there's stream official. He's the champ, and he would call spots for me to fire up on him, and he'd sell my punches, and I'm a ref. How generous is that? you know? Right. And then you fast forward to Ring of Honor, and then he comes in, and he's deferring to me specifically, not that he wouldn't, Tony, but I always had ideas of like, well, what are we going to do in this match? What do you think of this? And I'm calling stuff for this guy that I dress like on the indies. Yeah. I mean, so yeah. I'm like, he is my full circle guy in the business, you know, as far as like I was very, very honored to develop a friendship with him, not just, you know, being a peer rather than just a fan. So,
yeah.
So it was great to have him there with us. I've seen him a couple times recently, and it's always great to see him. Yeah.
Very good. Not sure if you perfected this match either, but we'll try and give you as much credit as possible.
we perfected every match.
We'll take all of
them. Come on, kid.
Yeah, yeah. You was involved in like gauntlet matches as well. Were you? Did you put these matches together as well, or was it just a scramble?
Which match was that?
Gauntlet match.
Oh no.
I don't
think so.
I don't know. I'm sure we had lots of ideas for it. I don't remember specifically gauntlet matches, but pretty much everything we did, we'd have a lot of ideas, you know. Or
I don't remember gauntlet matches even in Ring of Honor. Were there any?
I almost thought that that's what our when we defended the belts and we're not there yet. I want to say that was a gauntlet matches or maybe the scrambles, but I don't know. I don't specifically remember, to be honest with you. I forget how much we did there. you know, when you mm-hmm. when you first started first, you think you'll remember everything you ever did. Now it's like, I forgot about that, you know?
Well, I was going to look it up, but I think it might hang up the call. So, yeah. I wrote Gauntlet match down as a topic. So probably the most controversial point in the interview up until this stage, the Scramble Cage match and Teddy Hart. Anything you want to say on this?
I do. I want to say a lot.
Yeah.
Well, we've got just over a minute left, Tony. So you might want to keep it short.
All right. So let me go. So I had no idea who these. I didn't know Teddy Hart. I didn't know Jack Evans. I had no idea. So these guys come in and do this. I heard a little bit. I guess I did hear a little reputation about the guy, but after what he did, and local tell you, I tried to kill him. Really, I wanted to kill him because this was for the Backseat Boys, and here he is putting himself over. And you know, and I know, you know, I've been in locker rooms with Brett and Owen, and you know, I know his uncles, you know, and I know the respect they have for this business, and the lack of respect he showed that night really pissed me off. And look, I tell you,
we had just put together this match, agent in this match, for us to be beat by the Backseat Boys. That match was about getting them over at our expense.
Mm-hmm.
And Hart's name's not in there at all at this
point. Yeah.
You know what I mean? He was a poor part of that match, but at this point, it was down to these two teams. These guys are up, these guys are down, and that's how it is. And then all of a sudden, he starts flipping.
He's still flipping.
Just shaking his head, and he gives him another move so he has something to sell. And we get to the back, and DeVito beats me to the back, and then I hear him yelling, "He's still flipping! He's still flipping!"
And I hit the ring again.
We go out there, and we had straps because we've been whipping somebody.
Yeah.
Or I whipped him in the stomach, and DeVito did something back to him. And then I'm sure you've heard all the stories. We kicked him out of the locker room, and, you know, it was...
Well, I went off on him. Here's the point a lot of DeVito, I went off on him in the locker room.
DeVito says, "If your Uncle Owen was alive, he'd be ashamed of you." I'm going,
but anyway, you know, since I just saw Teddy not too long ago, I've made up with Teddy. We both have made up with Teddy a long time ago.
Yeah,
and here's the bad thing that could the thing that could have happened out of that whole thing. I called Gabe up, and I was so mad, and they weren't booking him again. And I called Gabe up, and me and Loke had talked, and I called him, and I said, "Gabe, we need to wrestle these guys. We need to feud with them. This is real life. It will draw money. We'll put all our feelings aside. Let's do business." And Gabe didn't want to do it. It's the worst mistake they made. I'm going to tell you that right now, because I think that would have drew money.
Yeah.
Because that was real. And you got to capitalize on real.
It was 100,000% real.
Yeah. We'll say this. Like I said, I got no feelings against Teddy. Everybody knows he's crazy. But I've seen three or four different shoot interviews he's done where he talked about that night, He tells a different version of the story every time, and none of them are true.
No. We'll always stick to the same story because it is true, but it's right. Cool. It's all cool.
Yeah. Like you said, I read in magazines and stuff about the ROH locker room kicking him out and what have you. And much like anything else I've asked you guys, you were there. I thought I would ask your opinion on it, and that's fine. We've reached the hour mark. I've still got some topics and questions to cover. Is that okay to continue?
Yeah, sure. Let's do it, man.
Fantastic. Yeah. Thanks very much, guys. Your blood feud, once again, I think this was like the end of your rivalry with Special K. What are your memories of this?
We worked with those guys forever.
Sorry, one second, HC. You lost a lot of matches to him as well in the process of, yeah. So
yeah, sure, I don't agree with that at all.
But that's part of teaching guys and elevating them, right? You know what I mean?
We were baby faces at that feud too, so, you know.
Right. And we did the whole thing with, had the idea, which I don't know if this is a great idea in hindsight or not. I don't know how well it ages, however many years later, but I had the idea of DeVito having a 14-year-old daughter that, got caught
up. Special K was all banging, running the train on, by the way.
Right. That was my idea.
Good idea.
It's not very TV friendly now, but
yeah,
it worked, and we had some good stuff.
But it added an intensity to the feud, didn't it? So
yeah, and we had every kind of match you could ever have with those guys, and different combinations of them, and that's probably, I don't know, I would have said until you reminded me of so many things today that was probably what we were most known for in Ring of Honor, was Special K. But but this is a good talk because I'm remembering stuff that I didn't remember we did. But yeah, that was probably our longest feud, or our most of our matches with those guys.
Like we've been saying the whole time here, what was really cool about that is that all those guys were so young and basically just starting out in the business, so we really got to work with really green guys, That was pretty cool because we really helped those guys along. I mean, yeah. The two main dudes, what was Izzy and Dragon? What was their
Izzy and Dixie.
Izzy and Dixie. Sorry, Izzy and Dixie. Those guys were already kind of into their, they've been doing stuff, but they were great dudes too, man, because they listened to everything too. Those guys were awesome. But
I see some of those guys now too, and the nice thing about it is when people remember that stuff, because I mean we're doing an interview now and we're telling you how things were, but it's not like we post on Facebook every day, hey, we taught those guys, we helped those guys, you don't put yourself over like that.
No, but
they, and I see Azrael quite a lot now, I work with a company in New York City.
He's
where
crazy, by the way.
Yeah.
Well, you said that from the power driver off the cage. Yeah,
his
he's an amazing wrestler right now. I mean, we used to teach him. He could teach me now. I mean, he's great. Mm-hmm. But he'll say that. Like every time I see him, something will come up. God, I learned so much in those days. I learned so much back then. And that's awesome. That makes you feel like you did your job.
Absolutely. Moving into 2004, and you started off this way in 2002, I think, because the feud went this long. You wrestled everyone's favorite tag team, Dunn and Marcos, the Ring Crew Express, in a series of matches. What were Dunn and Marcos like as people and as wrestlers? And what did you think of this long feud that lasted to almost 4 years before you finished up?
Yeah, well, they were my students, so they both broke in with me. So I don't know how many.
That's what I was going to come to later in the chat.
It was great because it was easy, kind of. And again, they're up for anything, young and crazy. But I love those guys because we had, not that we didn't with anybody else, but just 100% trust in everybody in the ring, of course, we knew exactly what they were capable of, and you always know what yourself is capable of. I really loved working with those guys. We did some crazy stuff with them. I remember Dunn taking that, we're in the city somewhere, and him taking the bump off the top through the ladder on the outside.
Yeah.
He's dead. But he was fine.
Yeah. But no, I love those kids. Like Loke said too, you know, he trained them, so I knew, you know, I could trust them. So that was the best part. But man, yeah. Because they were so young, it was so much fun working with them. Because they brought a different energy, and they were over with the crowd. You know, it was great. So working them was a lot of fun. You know, I had a good time with those guys, and they earned their spot. Let me tell you about people earning their spot. Those two earned their spot.
Yeah.
They have now Marcos has like a kid or something, right? It's so weird to see that with a kid.
They totally drove everywhere, set up the ring. That's how they got the name Ring Crew Express. You know. And, I mean, that's what we did, you know, but I mean, they paid their dues. They're great guys. Great guys. Yeah. Great. They should get more credit than they got. I mean, I think everybody loves them and everybody knows that they were good, I remember Tony and I at different times lobbying. We'd chant Dunn and Marcos at Gabe and said, like, you know, put the belts on these guys. You know what I mean? Do something for them. Put the belts on these guys.
I think they got used the right way in Ring of Honor as far as how they were. You know, I think it was it was good. I liked them. But I think they had a good spot.
And hindsight's easy to look at, but I could have seen them getting that one big
push. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
They were over enough.
Yeah.
I think they could have been tag team champions you guys were, definitely. And if they had have stayed with the company longer, then it definitely would have happened for them. So, moving on to the new Carnage Crew feud. Masada turned on you guys and was joined by Danny Daniels. For me, he's one of the most underrated guys in the business. What did you think about this feud?
I hated the whole idea of it. I hated the crapping in the bag thing. I hated that's the promo we did with Dusty. Dusty did a promo with that. It was like, you got Dusty Rhodes. I mean, I know it's an 80s like angle, but I hated the angle. Mm. I didn't like the idea of working with them like that. They're both great guys, though, you know. Nothing against either one of them. I just didn't like that. It broke off like that. If you wanted to split them, you know, Gabe wanted to split them with us, just, you don't need to just take them away and let them go do their own thing. I just thought the angle itself was stupid. That's all.
See, if Teddy had a crapped in your bags,
I just hated the way we got to it. That's all.
Yeah.
I just didn't like that part of it.
And for yourself, HC,
I think we could have done probably something better, more creative, but I never really thought about it the way Tony is. It didn't bother me. I didn't think we were lighting the world on fire with it, though. I thought it was just
I thought it was
the fact that they're, I don't know. I felt like it was just something for us to do, you know, until the next big thing or next bigger thing. Mm. But it's good to have something to do, right? It's better than not getting booked. So
absolutely.
And of course, Danny Daniels, the reason why he was in there, this might be in your notes, the reason why it was him is because of my little feud with him in ECW. So that was like bringing somebody from my past, past,
it makes sense when you want to tie it all together. I just didn't like the way we went to it. I just didn't like the crapping in the bag. I just thought it was stupid, childish. That's all I thought about, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, that seems like it took the easy way to get there, you know, could have been a little more.
There was no, you know, not enough thought. And listen, that part of that could be our fault. I guess I didn't fight for it, so it's part of my fault. I didn't fight. Or maybe I did and I lost.
I can't see you losing too many fights, to be honest, Tony.
Listen, at that point, I kept telling Gabe I wanted to do comedy spots, and he didn't want to. He didn't like my comedy ideas.
you kind of touched on it then, moving on to the next big thing and the next big feud. Working with Alison Danger to take on the prophecy of Dan Maff and BJ Whitmer. This was, once again, much like the Homicide Abdullah the Butcher match from 2002 when you main evented. This was obviously huge for you guys. Going against the ROH tag team champions. And yeah, well, what are your thoughts and feelings on this working with Allison first of all, and then the feud with Math and Whitmer?
The feud with Math and Whitmer was, I loved those matches. Kind of similar, like you said, to like Hit Squad stuff earlier, you know, big rough dudes that just kind of, you know, trust each other and we're going to go out there and, you know, you just fight, you know, and take care of each other, but lay it in. And good matches, fun matches. I remember us working in Elizabeth, New Jersey, and DeVito was going to pair off with BJ, and I was going to pair off with Danny. And I said, hey, Danny, over there in the stands, actually, my kids are sitting over there. And he goes, say no more. That's all we talked about. So we're fighting through the crowd, and we get over there. And I'm like, there's my kids. So he's like, puts me over huge there, you know, whatever. I'm elbow off the bleachers on him, just, you know, so he can do something cool in front of my kids. So good friends, good, super talented dudes. Both of them doing great right now. You know, BJ behind the scenes in AEW, and Dan just got that contract so with Ring of Honor again. So.
Yeah.
So I really enjoyed it. We did promos with Allison Danger for that stuff. I don't remember a lot more about it. We did some funny stuff. Like, remember I put the dollar bill in my mouth and pretended she was a stripper, stuff like that, or whatever.
I don't think she was she there for the whole entire feud. I don't remember.
I don't know if she was ringside during those or not. I don't remember.
Ringside, I would think, but wasn't she? I think she was gone not too long after or something. Like she left.
I don't remember. I don't remember her. Interacting too much,
but that was a fun feud though, man. I had a good time working with those guys. Both dudes, you know. BJ still looks great. I don't know how he does it, but
yeah.
But man, that's a fun feud. Listen, everything we did was a good time. I had a good time doing it all.
And then I think this is correct. The first ever fight without honor tag team match against BJ Whitmer and Dan Math. To the best of my knowledge. So that's a huge accomplishment for you guys because it was mostly one-on-one fight without honor matches.
Was that when...
this was at Final Battle 2004.
Was that when Mick was around too?
I would imagine so, yeah.
Wasn't Mick the special ref?
Yeah. Well, we did what we did with one of those matches with those guys he was.
That was
a
blow-off for it.
There was we had the silly idea, and I can't believe that we dared suggest it to him, that he used the Christmas stocking as Mr. Sacco, remember, like that. So it must have been around Final Battle if it was Christmas time.
I think,
you know,
yeah,
so
I must have been Final Philly. Battle. I know we did it in Philly in the Armory.
That was like one of the only times we did thumbstacks. He brought him out in the stocking, the Christmas stocking.
Yeah, and obviously since we're talking about Final Battle 2004. You was there when Generation Next Austin Aries beat Samoa Joe. Was this a curtain sellout? And, you know, what did you think of Joe finally being toppled for the ROH World Championship at that point?
I was standing out in the arena, actually, like way in the back. And
I think we both were.
And that place was I would have never guessed it, you know, but that place came unglued. Those bleachers were shaking in there.
Did you know? Because I don't think wasn't there a time we didn't like Gabe liked to keep a lot of things secret. He didn't tell everybody. So like
we didn't know. I don't think
we knew. So that was different too.
I remember going in the back and saying to Gabe, I said, "Wow, you know," I said, "Well, he's in the same exact spot Joe was when he got it," and he goes, "The same spot." What I mean by that was when Joe beat Xavier, he was just a guy kind of coming in. He'd been in a couple times and thought it was just a title, but everybody thought it was just a title defense. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Then he beat him. And that was the same thing there. Thought, oh, there's a title defense for Joe. Going to be a solid match. Mm-hmm. And then he beat him. And those, I can remember physically feeling things shake. And that was in the Armory in Philly.
Yeah.
That was pretty awesome. Same night. Yeah.
Yeah, that's same night. And for yourself, Tony, what do you?
Yeah, same thing. Like I said, we didn't know. I don't think anybody knew. Like I said, Gabe liked to keep a lot of things secret, even to the locker room. So only the guys involved kind of knew what was going on. So, when we saw the title change hands, I was like, okay. Wasn't expecting that.
Yeah, for myself, from a fan's perspective, since HC said it earlier, I kind of saw this on like the message boards and then like went out of my way to get the DVD and watched it. And it's actually available on the ROH YouTube channel now. And it's still an incredible moment. But once again, I really appreciate you guys answering ROH questions as well as Carnage Crew ones. So, going into 2005, you, HC Loke, lost the match, which meant that you had to stay away from ROH for 90 days. You had to go you had to go back to your quote-unquote annoying families and your day jobs and stuff. How was this experience?
Those damn kids.
It was weird, man. It was kind of, I remember thinking that was real, kind of feeling like, you know, that's quite a few shows that we're missing there, you know, and what really sticks out in my head on that is that the finish got botched in that match. Remember, Tony, that was, Don Marcos came off of the top of the cage or top of something with their finish through me, through the table. It was all fine, but the ref counted to two and stopped. And I'm like, we got to leave for 90 days and we got to do it on a screwed up finish. And I'm sure they edited on the DVD.
Did I beat the referee up? Did I beat him up afterwards?
You might have. But I remember going back.
Sounds like a Tony thing to do.
I remember going in the back and I was pissed. And I was like, fire him, blah, blah, blah. And I shouldn't have done that. But I was, you know, this was, I'll speak for myself. I've always taken things very, very, very seriously. The biggest compliment I ever got in my career was people backstage called me the Tommy Dreamer of Ring of Honor because I was Mr. Ring of Honor type of guy. I've got it tattooed on the bill back still.
Mark.
And I'm like, shit, you know, we're going to be gone for 90 days, just whatever, half a dozen shows. I don't remember at the time. But that got screwed up and it was a big match for us and a big story. And I took things really seriously, you know. I took the business very seriously, and my friends in the business very seriously, and that's my biggest thing about that night was that the finish got botched, and I lost my temper about it.
I don't remember the finish being botched, but like I don't remember a lot of stuff. But yeah. like Luke touched on too, like he gets he was taking it all very seriously, and I'm thinking the other way, and he'll tell you. I'm thinking this is my last hurrah. I'm having fun here. I don't even care. You know, he's always, let's do TNA. Let's do it. And I feel bad because he wants to do all this stuff. And I'm just like, yeah, I'm just done, man. So like having that suspension probably for me was great because I didn't have to go to shows for a little bit. And not that I hated the business. And it's nothing like that. I'm not disgruntled, nothing like that. It's no hatred. It's just for me, I was working my job every day during the week, and Ring of Honor started doing a lot of traveling at that time. We were wrestling, like you said, we were probably doing two shows or at least one show a week, mm-hmm. you know, possibly two every weekend. And I'm like, man, I just, I'm not into it to do that no more. You know, like I was really coming towards the end, you know, and that's just my perspective of it. And that's why he says, you know, for him, he was still, you know, he wants more. Yeah. And which is awesome, you know, but the best thing about the suspension for me is that we got to come back as heels, which mm-hmm. I hate being a baby face. I'm not a baby face. I'm ugly and I'm mean. I'm a jerk. So, and I like to beat people up. So I'm a heel. And we got to come back as heels, which that part for me is awesome.
Yeah. It seems to me that HG Loke is the Bret Hart and you're Shawn Michaels. I'm not sure how that works as a tag team.
Well,
but
it's the Marty. It's the Marty's.
No, but if HG Loke takes the business really seriously, he could be Bret Hart and you're like, oh, whatever.
Well,
that's
not
very
that
Shawn Michaels.
I took it very seriously, but just at that point.
At that point, yeah.
He'll tell you, I was working my other job, you know, so it's like it was too much for me at one point, you know. I just, you know.
I've always been very lucky like that. I when I was young, my father taught me the construction business. So in working for myself, I mean, you got to get your jobs done. You got to pay the bills and you got to keep your clients happy. But I also have the freedom and still do. I'm sitting right now at one of the job sites watching my employees walk by one or the other thing. So, you know, and if I had a other kind of job, I wouldn't be able to do this right now. Right. So
I have to work for the man, Oliver. I work for the man.
And I am the man around here, so it don't matter.
We've all got bills to pay, guys.
Yeah.
It's a it's about being an adult, isn't it? So
it sucks, yeah, and it's not all it's advertised to be.
Yeah, it's not good.
Keep, 2 seconds. Keep talking. I just gotta say, you all right, Buck?
Yeah.
Okay.
We'll wait till he comes back.
I'm working right now. I'm gonna tell one of my guys. Hold on.
Oh, all right. Sorry.
To be fair, two out of the three of us are working, Tony. It's only you gets to relax because I'm interviewing HC's replying and looking after his guys, and you're just chilling.
I'm just
hanging out.
It's all good. So yeah, moving on to the biggest and best moment of your ROH career. Win, so many times in these number one contender matches, you finally win the ROH Tag Team Championships. What did this moment mean to you, and what are your memories of it?
It was awesome. It was kind of a, I don't know. I think I remember thinking that the match could have been better, maybe. I don't know. I think it was probably all right. But it meant a whole lot to me, and it was kind of known backstage that it would mean a lot to me personally. At the time, my dad was getting old, and I couldn't wait to like bring this belt and show him. See, you know, I didn't waste the last at this time, 12 years or whatever it was. You know, now it's been 25 years, and my dad's still around. I still bring him belts when I win them. See, that was great, man. I mean, we didn't have the longest run of anybody, and we certainly, you know. Whatever, we weren't the, from a fan's perspective, we probably weren't people's favorite tag team champions of all time, but we got
that's what I love about it. That's what I love about this, it.
They can't ever take that away, you know. And I'll be somewhere, I'll be whatever. I'll wrestle in West Virginia this weekend, right? And there's a very good chance when they announce me and former Ring of Honor World Tag Team Champion HG Local, they get to say that for the rest of my life.
Well, you can't take it away,
you know. The original former Ring of Honor World Tag Team Champion. That's cool, you know?
For me, it meant a lot, too, because of what we were for that company. And it's the reason we got the belt is because of what we did for that company. We actually got rewarded. That's really what it was. That's why the run was short, which, in hindsight, Gabe was very angry that he shortened our reign. He's like, I should have kept it on you guys. Mm-hmm. But anyway, it meant a lot because of that reason to me, you know? We did a lot for that company, and we finally got rewarded for it. So to me, that was awesome. And I politicked for it a little bit. I'm not going to bash you on that. I politicked for it, but like I also said, man, I was getting towards the end of my run. And you know, we got the belts, and I didn't think the match was that bad. I think Loke expected more out of it, and we didn't get the reaction probably that he like when we won. If you ever go back and listen to it, we win the belt. And the fans pop, and then they went, wait a minute, these guys just won the belts.
That's right.
Loved it. I'm a heel.
When I talk about the Carnage Crew and Ring of Honor and the fans' perspective, and what I mean by that completely is, and tying into what Tony just said, a huge reason, biggest reason we got those belts was like a thank you for our contributions to the company. Stuff that the fans don't necessarily see, okay?
Yeah.
So... And I mean, here's just a truth. There's guys in the ring that the fans are chanting that they're the best in the world, but in reality, in the back, they're asking me and Tony how their match was and what they could do better next time. That was our job, and we were proud of that, you know. But the fans don't see that part, you know. And we got that honor of holding those belts up, you know, for as short a time as it was, and saying forever that we're former Ring of Honor Tag Team Champions because of what we did for the company, more so than, well, these guys are better than the Briscoes or blah, 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 or more over, I should say, because it's not about better, you know, it's, they felt we deserved it.
Yeah.
Business wise, you know, and we felt so too, honestly. So, you know, and it's my proudest. It's probably my proudest thing, you know, in the business. I've had, you know, a few cool moments. Tony has too. That's probably number one, I would say, you know. And you know, and especially again, you know, I met the world to Tony, So if something means the world to Tony, you know, it means eight worlds to me because I feel this stuff harder. You know what I mean? I remember hugging him in the ring and just pounding him on the back, you know, like it's, you know, whatever. But it,
then we celebrated in the ring truck that night.
Yeah. It was awesome, man. It was a culmination of a whole lot of hard work. And if the fact is, I don't think we talked about this in this interview. Maybe we didn't. No, Tony and I talked about it earlier. But we were never supposed to be those guys. We were guys to come in that were solid workers that could teach and put guys over. Mm-hmm. You know, not even talking. I don't even think the original plan was for us to have feuds and storylines or anything like that. Yeah. Come in, help these guys, teach them a little bit, have good solid matches with our guys. Mm-hmm. But you're not our guys. And then we became the guys for a short time as it was. Yeah. And so that and I got no problem saying we earned that. So it was cool.
Well, we definitely earned it, in my opinion, too, of course.
Yeah, and like HC said, from a fan's perspective, I've been a writer for 15 years. I don't know if you guys know that about professional wrestling and obviously doing this podcasting and stuff. And like HC said, I've been able to show my books to my family as this is what I've done. So when you're saying about bringing titles home and stuff, it's always really cool to be able to do that. In terms of whether you've earned it, like we said off air, and I've got no problem saying it on air now, I bought a Carnage Crew t-shirt.
Thank you.
I thought you guys were underrated. Instead of former champions, I call you one-time champions because I think that's even more respectful. And yeah, just appreciate what you've done in ROH, and you definitely deserve the ROH tag team titles from the start. Like I said, it was a 4-year wait, and everything you did, the people you wrestled, the people you helped along the way, the Carnage Crew definitely deserved the ROH tag team championships.
Well, thanks, I appreciate that.
No problem. And then the last thing you did in ROH before you left at that time, another match with the Ring Crew Express. Tony went to the hospital after the match, and HC, you went up and you showed him respect. And that was the last we saw of the Carnage Crew in ROH up until this point. Any thoughts and memories on that? And
the whole thing, like I was saying too before, you know, Ring Honor was starting to book all the time. You know, there's so many different places to go. I didn't want to drive no more. I was done. Yeah. So the whole agreement too was, you know, let's just bring us in part time. Gabe loved it because he's like, yeah, I'm starting to run out of ideas for you guys. And I was like, just bring us in part time, man. We'll just come in, you know, some close shows. We'll do some close ones, and that'll be it, you know. And he agreed to it, and it never happened. That was the last match.
Damn verbal contracts.
But honestly, for me, I was okay with it. So,
yeah. If I'm honest, I mean, you know, it's a shoot interview. Things weren't great at home for me at that time, you know. So it was kind of time to go home for a little while, you know, anyway. So it was okay. And then it wasn't long after that. Well, I say it wasn't long, a year or two, or I don't know. Where it was like, I did set out the feelers of, is there something else there? And then they changed bookers right in the middle of those talks. And, you know, it just never really came up, you know, at that point. Tony got old, so what are you going to do? But
you don't look too old to me, Tony.
Thanks.
Yeah, you're welcome. Yeah. So, yeah, we touched on this earlier, and this is how I'll finish the interview. You have trained some of the top ROH stars. We'll start with yourself, Tony. The second ever ROH champion, the all-around best, Xavier, Cloudy, Cheech, one guy that I had no idea you trained, Bobby Fish.
Bobby Fish is my boy.
Yeah.
Tag team champion right now, tag team champions.
Yeah, the Outcast Killers, Omen to Tortuga, and Diablo Santiago as well. That is a hell of a lineage in ROH. Any thoughts and memories on training these guys?
Just a lot of good times training with these dudes. Fish, man, I'm telling you, Fish lived in Albany, which was like an hour and a half from where I was. And without a doubt, he was going out getting drunk the night before. So he's always running late to practice, and he's always hungover. But he worked in a bar, so I can understand.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, I had a lot of good times with all those guys, man. We just they were all good kids, and that's why I pushed for all these guys for Ring of Honor. You know, as Loke did with his guys, I always tried getting my guys in, and those are the guys that I tried to sneak, you know, try to get in there. Unfortunately mm-hmm. for Fish, not unfortunately, because everything's worked out pretty well for him, but
yep.
I tried getting him in there. He had a couple matches. Gabe just, I don't know, just didn't do anything with him. Mm-hmm. But he did get his shot years later, which I'm very happy for. So, yeah.
And for yourself, H, we probably already touched on this. You know, you trained Don and Marcos. Anything you want to add to that you haven't already?
I don't know if it's anything I haven't already. I was just so always so super proud of them. And they're when you train guys, if you do it right, I guess, and if they're the right kind of guys, they never forget it. So I mean, I'll hear from them once in a while. I hear from mm-hmm. most guys on Father's Day, for real, you know, and some of my other students as well, you know, and that's how much the business means to people, to a lot of us, and that's how important some trainers are to their students, you know. Yep. So that's pretty.
And I always some of them could care less, just to let you know. That. Some of them care less.
Yeah.
Oh, I know about that. I've read enough about it.
I always get credit for Luke Harper and Colin Delaney because they came kind of out of my scene.
Okay.
Like, in fact, I can tell you Cabana's podcast, Fish was on it, and Cabana asked Fish, he goes, "Oh, you train with Tony DeVito, right?"
I don't know.
You train with Tony DeVito, right? He goes, "Yeah." And he goes, "And Tony trained Colin and Brody too, right?" And Fish says, "No, those are Loke guys." So, no, those are Loke guys.
Of course I get credit.
They're like, you know.
You get credit for everything, Tony.
That's right.
Yeah. Those guys kind of came
up. I invented pro wrestling. I don't know if you guys know that.
Yeah. Oh, man. I didn't know that all the way back in 1991, but
all the way back.
just to finish up for yourself, HC, I saw the tweet early this morning when I was working ridiculously hard on the latest ROH review. Big news seems to be on, you know, coming up. Anything you can say at all?
Sure, Tony tells me more details about it. It's we're going to be reunited.
During Mania week.
Yeah, Mania week. I think it's the Thursday. We've got to get some more of the details. But as soon as it was like confirmed, definitely going to happen, I wanted to let it be known. It seems to be getting really good response. Social media.
It's actually not released on their roster yet, but it's going to be.
Right. So we got to wait for them to do it before we do. But it's a done deal, and we're going to be there, and we're pretty excited about it, you know. And, and if anything else were to come up, I don't know. Wouldn't it be cool if a company we used to work for had a show, they brought back some of the originals? Wouldn't that be awesome? And then they invited some former champions. If that were to come up, we would certainly love that. So
that's not ROH past versus present at all. No, that's not coming up March 14th. I won't go into too much detail there, guys. Once again, I asked for an hour. You've given me more than that. I really appreciate it.
This is overtime, Oliver. You know how that works.
There is. I'm looking at four employees right now sitting around with nothing to do. So I've got a few.
I wish I had the money to pay you guys, but I can't even pay myself at the moment. So. It's been fantastic, guys. Just in closing, is there anything you want to plug social media wise or?
I don't. My Facebook is set private, and I don't really do any social media stuff. So
I still.
Surprise! Surprise!
Yeah. That's why I've had to set up this interview through HC, Tony. So, that's fine.
That's for me. Mine's just, you know, you just search HC Loke, whatever. But I still want to be a wrestler when I grow up type of thing. So I'm still out there, still doing all, still working a lot. I had like 70 matches last year, which is crazy. But, you know, doing well with it. I think I'm doing my best work. I know I'm in the best shape, which I was in this kind of shape in Ring of Honor.
Yeah.
So, you know, Yeah, still plugging along, still trying to talk Tony into doing some stuff. Maybe I can hey, we'll try to go to Japan, buddy, something like that. I'll see if I can. But
well, you got a lot. He's got a lot of bookings up in upstate New York, so I'm all the way to Florida. It's a little far.
Yeah.
I'm not doing that drive.
No.
Do the drives, kids, but I'm not doing it.
Get somebody to drive, yeah. Yeah, and like I said, much like anyone else, you know, you've left an indelible mark on ROH. We thank you for your time, your effort, your blood, sweat, and tears. And from this fan, from as HC Logue said, from a fan's perspective, hope to see you back in an ROH ring soon.
Thanks, man.
No worries. Thanks, guys. We are extremely proud to be a part of the Broken But Glorious Wrestling Podcast team. They are our hosts, and we really appreciate it. So go follow them on Twitter, at BBGW Wrestling, at BBGW Pod, and BBGWrestling.com. We have a partnership with Powerslam.tv, and they have over 6,500 hours of professional wrestling from 140 plus promotions. Use that on us for free for a month using the code BROKENFREE. To myself, I'm a free-time pro wrestling author. Firstly, Fans Perspective, One Man's Exploration of British Wrestling. ROH is in this book, so that's the reason to buy it. I was at Unified in 2006. I was in the same hotel as ROH Wrestlers in 2007 and at the Liverpool Double Shot in 2007 too. Second up is a book that I don't usually promote, but it has ROH alumni in it. It's A Fan's Perspective 2016, What a Year to Be a Fan of WWE. If you want to find out what happened with AJ Styles, Samoa Joe, etc., make sure you read this book. And lastly, Fan's Perspective, How My Lifelong Dream Became a Nightmare. I was at the Orlando Double Shot in 2008, and I took ROH alumni, my modern-day favourite wrestler, Paul London, to the main event and to the World Heavyweight title, and it's in this book. And then for all three books, are available on paperback and Kindle, and Kindle Limited for free. Signed via my Big Cartel, so contact me on fansperspective.bigcartel.com, and that is fine and dandy. Lastly, our social media, so Twitter is at ROH Review, Instagram is at ROH Review. We now have a Facebook page, facebook.com/ROH Review 2019, because that's when we were established. YouTube is one of those funny things that we have to put in the description. And our email is rohreviewoutlook.com. Comments, questions, feedback, send it our way via any of those social medias. And we will crack on with what you need to know. Thank you very much, everyone. And we'll see you soon. Bye for now. Bye.